You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. It's a rainy day today. We are heard on FM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And of course, worldwide on the web. I'm looking at Danny's shirt, and it says WMIE 91.5.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I'm like, got confused.
That's another one. That's another one we can be heard on.
It's an unscripted show, folks. That's for sure. 1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, we archive all of our shows there. You go to the on demand button. We are on each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You just look up Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, right after the show, we post the podcast, the recording, I should say. It's not even a podcast. We post the recording as well as the pictures and a little bit about the guests that we're on. So you can search our social media, Facebook, and all of those great things, plus our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com.
You know, Ellen, this morning on the way here, I was thinking about, you know, how long we've been on the radio, and it's 15 years. And you know what? I have sort of incorporated the Monday into my life.
Me too. Yeah.
And you have, and so has Allie and Danny. And so for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Ellen O'Neill has been my co-host for 16 years. And, you know, there are some people in life that are so honest and loyal and compassionate and has such empathy for others and goes all out for a friend, and that's my friend Ellen with a capital F.
Ding ding ding.
Love you, girl. Love you. And Allie Tamper has been with us. Allie's husband came on our show in the wee beginning, way back then,
and yeah, he like was 14 or 15.
Yeah, he was part of our show, Mr. Tamper was, and yeah, he talked.
Toastmasters.
That's right, yeah. And he had a great time. And then, of course, you and Ellen are friends, and you're here with us too. So
yeah,
it's wonderful. And of course, Danny, who's encouraging us to stay with the program for another couple of years. We shall see how the good Lord sends good guests our way and people to help sponsor shows and stuff, and we'll do it.
Sure.
But so for our listeners who are tuning in for the first time, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we started this show because I was writing a blog for the Florida Today, and I was one of those people here in Brevard County, Florida, that had a huge following. And when the editors did away with that editorial that we were writing, that opinion piece, I had people that still wanted me to share my opinions. And so I came on the radio, and I've been here since. And so we talk about kitchen table topics. We talk about health insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance. We talk about financial literacy. We talk about the environment. We talk about women's rights. We talk about the elderly. We talk about whether you want to write a book, whether you have written a book, whether you've got ideas for a book, whatever it is, we give you a platform in a very responsible manner to come on our show and share this fun, unscripted, educational, and quite informative hour with us. And it's no different. We have a repeat guest today and talk about compassion and a gentleman who's find his purpose in life. Mr. Cam Sholey was born and raised in Toronto, Canada, recently retired from a career in teaching at the university and coaching students. He is now a compassionate listening facilitator whose purpose is to help people to heal, develop, and move forward in their lives. And he's also a writer, an author. He wrote a book called This Happy Home, It is a very compelling memoir about his childhood, being raised with violence, hardships, instability, kind of like many people. And we all know folks like that who wants to write about it, but Cam did it. So he'll be on our first segment. Our second segment is with an attorney who's calling in from Miami, Florida. Her name is Olivia Benson, not the movie star, Ellen, right. Olivia S. Benson.
I got all excited driving in.
Yeah, and she will speak about her father being absent and how she has found a connection through spirituality. And she'll talk about our universe, nature, God, and the spirit, and how she gave up a high-powered job so that she can be a good mom to her son. So that would be the second segment. And so Cam is on the phone, and he's calling in from Toronto, Canada. Thank you for taking time from your busy day to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Mr. Cam Sholey.
Well, hello, my friends. How are you today?
We're good to see you. Well, or hear you.
Yeah. Well, great to hear your voices.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ellen walked in the studio and she said, as you know, we were prepping for the show, she said, I'm so glad that Mr. Cam is calling in. This is the third time he's been part of our show.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, always, and always so a fantastic message. And thank you for sharing all of that. So those of our listeners who are out there, there's usually about 1,200 of you listening live every single Monday. This would be a good day to get a paper and pen. Because
right.
This is always a great, great inspirational segment.
Right. And you know what, you know, Cam, as I was prepping for the show, I thought about, you know, your book and everything you've been through and how you found so much purpose in your life through being a compassionate listener. So I want you to talk to our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you became a compassionate listener.
Sure, I'd love to do that. So I'll try to summarize the childhood background. Is, as you mentioned, it was very unstable, full of violence. And it was the kind of childhood that you eventually become an adult. And so it physically put that abuse behind you. But mentally and spiritually, you cannot put that abuse behind you. And so I grew up as a rather angry adult and not even realizing that I was an angry adult. I just thought the way I was conducting my life with a raised voice and furrowed brows all the time, I thought that's the way you conduct life. And that's just not a really productive approach to life. And then came the pandemic, 2020, which traumatized all of us in different ways. One thing it did for me, though, is because all my work shut down, because it was physical face-to-face work, is it gave me time to say, you know what, it's time to start working on myself. And one of the things I did was I took an introduction to compassionate listening for no other reason, just that I knew I could be a better listener. In fact, you know, 95% of the world could probably be better listeners.
Indeed.
That course in compassionate listening, it transformed me as a person. From that, I was able to listen much better, show more compassion to myself and others. And that's actually how I wound up healing enough from the childhood trauma in order to be able to write the memoir that I did. And that memoir experience, I have to say, I really encourage people to try to write down some of the things. Because it's funny how I remembered all of the negative things in detail. But when I wrote the memoir, there were all these moments of kindness, all these positive things that I'd completely forgotten about. The negative stuff had just, you know, kind of covered it over. And so now between the healing and writing the memoir, I feel like there's a spiritual weight of about 50 pounds lifted off my shoulders. And so now what I want to do is I want to spread the word about how important compassionate listening is. There's the compassion piece and then there's the listening piece, but it's so much deeper than that. And so that's really my purpose now, especially in this uptight world, is the fact is the world needs a hug right now.
I mean, right. And you hit it on the head. We're living in a time when we see we need to tell everybody to slow down, take a deep breath, and think for a minute about our shared responsibility as human beings, because this life is just a vacation. It's a journey. It's mm-hmm. nothing more and it's nothing less. And some of journeys are cut short and some are, you know, they're PBC people who have longevity. But at the same time, we're all watching so much hate and division and, mm-hmm. you know, and you want to say to people that maybe if you start listening, you can promote kindness.
Absolutely. You said it so well there. And you started with something really poignant, is the world, we need to slow down. And one of the things I've really worked on is my patience level. And it's amazing how much a little bit more patience permeates your whole life. You're more patient with yourself, that inner critic voice. We can teach it to be more patient and more kind to us. We're more patient with others. I'm even more patient with animals now, you know, when they're sniffing and you're taking a dog for a walk and they're sniffing around. I'm much more patient to let them sniff away because that's their multimedia. That's their
newspaper.
Social media. That's how they learn. It's like someone's telling them a story, and if you rip them away, they've only heard half the story. So we can be patient with so many more things and just be kinder through compassionate listening. Absolutely is a big leap, perhaps, but even something as small as what I call attentive silence. It just means let someone finish their story when they're telling you a story without butting in. Just relax your tongue. Relax your lips, let your lips come together like they're not going to be open for a few minutes, and let people talk. And that's what we need right now.
Yeah, and you know, it used to be in the old days, you could go up to people and who you feel are kind of on the edge, and you could give them a hug, or you could give them a high five, or you could do something. But nowadays, even that, a lot of us who are compassionate and empathetic, you can't even hug people anymore because our world have changed so much.
Yeah, you're right. You're so right. It's just become polarized and people are isolating. Even if they're out in public, they're isolated, like to your point about hugging.
Yep.
And you know, we're not going to change it all in one sweeping motion, but compassionate listening and things like that, what we're trying to do is to incrementally just bring back some of the civility with each other, some of the love, some of the heart-to-heart connection that we have had in the past, but we're starting to lose it now.
And I think one of the things I learned from you the last time that you were on, and I don't know that you said this exactly, but it was it was something that I had lived my life with, was go in curiosity and not in judgment. So if you have questions or if you feel an emotional thing coming up where you feel like you're going to be upset with someone, instead of going in judgment and expecting that your opinion or that your life experience is more important than theirs, go in curiosity of asking questions and then using those listening skills that you talk about to be that compassionate friend and to be that compassionate person.
That's beautiful, Ellen. And I'm actually going to piggyback on that and talk about how you can do that to yourself as well. And have you ever done this? I know I have. Is you say I've said something stupid, and then in my head I'm like, why did I do that? I'm so stupid. And so it's into a complete war with myself. Instead of pouncing on myself now after I've said something stupid, I'll say, I wonder why I would have said that. In this moment, I have to explore that because I don't want to do that again. That's an unacceptable behavior, you know, because people's pain levels are understandable, but some of the conduct and behavior that they exhibit is unacceptable. So we need to find a way to manage those triggers better. And Ellen, you were really onto something with what you just said there.
Yeah. And you know, when you are compassionate, listener to you bring individuals and groups together and you try to bridge the differences, and I see that you are trying very hard to do that through your workshops as well, when you bring people together like that through the workshop.
Yes, bridging is a big part of compassionate listening, because and especially important right now with this polarized world, is people may seem like they're at opposite ends of the spectrum, but when we start to explore and talk to them about what's really important. It's amazing how much overlap in values there are between the two. So in compassionate listening, we're really focused on two things. Well, we're focused on many things, but two things we really focus on are people's feelings. So how did it make them feel? How are they feeling now? And also their values. And a great way to start bridging people is, as a compassionate listener, I can listen to both sides and observe what values I hear coming out. And when I hear overlapping values between two opposing sides, then I start to explore that with them. And it's amazing how groups can, you know, they may not be coming together with hugs at the end of it, but they're closer together after the meeting than they were at the beginning, that's for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, as I was reading and getting prepared for the show, I was reading where the Compassionate Listening Project, which teaches such powerful skills in peacemaking, was conceived by Gene, I can't say his name, K-N-U-D-S-E-N Huffman.
Newton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was born in 1919 and lived till 2010. He was an international peacemaker, a founder of the USSR Reconciliation Program. And he talked a lot about even bringing peace to such war-torn areas as what we're seeing now in the Middle East as well. He was a true man of peace, and he really thought that peace building is an everyday job, that you do it every day you wake up.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, because there's always conflict.
Yes.
And when there's always conflict, you know, there's conflict at the global scales that you mentioned, but there's also conflict within the household, within spouses, within two people. And so as long as there's going to be conflict, some people, maybe not everyone, but some people need to wake up with a peace-building focus to try to reduce the conflict between people. Because a lot of conflict, in a sense, it's very real to the people, but a lot of the content behind the conflict is actually artificial. Could be based on misinformation, a lot of misunderstandings. And that's where listening comes in too, is if we really listen to each other, there's a lot less misunderstandings that are going to go on.
Yeah, I read somewhere where it says that listeners seek the truth of the person who is speaking, and the listener is trying to be non-judgmental and try to figure out in their own way where this person is coming from. Because listeners, we want to humanize the person who's talking with us. But through compassionate listening, not only you humanize them, but you get into their soul and you try to figure out, what is this person trying to convey to me? And how can I help this person to heal after this conversation takes place?
Yes, so true. Because I'm going to back up to the word truth that you used. What is the truth? I mean, it depends on what perspective you're looking at it from, right? If you and I were sitting opposite one another and I put down a big number 6 in front of me on a table, what are you seeing? Are you seeing a 6? You're seeing a 9. Okay, we're looking at the same thing, but we're seeing two very different things. Okay, so the idea of trying to see the truth of the other perspective is to widen and broaden our peripheral viewpoint to say, look, I know I see a 6 in front of me. Is it possible, though, that from different angles, there are different interpretations? And we have to remember that the truth is just, it's sort of a collective hunch of ideas. There's very few actual absolute truths. And so the more we can widen our viewpoint and look at it from other perspectives, the more we're going to be able to try to bridge the differences between ourselves and others.
Right. And I think the intention of compassionate listening is to access the deepest wisdom to transform separation and conflict into an opportunity for connection, healing, and of course, peace. And I see that in my own family, because we have 18 siblings from 3 different sets of parents. And once I grew up and I could understand that us children who were born out of all these people. We didn't ask to come on planet Earth, but at the same time, I understand the humans and what happened for all of us to be born. And so I took the conflict out of that, and I put understanding and peace and tolerance, and it's made me understand my family history and my 18 brothers and sisters more than ever before, because I chose to be a compassionate person.
That's wonderful. That's a great case study of what all of us need to be doing in some way, shape, or form right now. Because you're right, it, you know, all the polarity out there, you know, there's so much tension and misinformation going on out there. The more we can do to show compassion, to just be more accepting of others, show the respect level. You know, we all have differences, but one thing we all have is a heart. And another thing we all have in common is that we've been traumatized in our past. So why can't we treat each other better and try to reduce the amount of future trauma and future conflict?
Yeah, by sitting down and, like you said, talking to yourself. And, you know, I did that. And yeah. I'm like, well, my mother fell in love with this guy. She was a servant in the home. She had a couple of kids. I could understand love. I can understand, you know. And then I rationalized it in my head. Well, she didn't believe in abortion, so she had her children. I love my siblings. There should be no conflict. And then I started figuring out what a complex human being my mom was, and mm-hmm. what a powerful person my father was. But then they had to raise all these kids from different backgrounds. And I noticed with you, you have written that, you know, that you don't have to have a skill to be a compassionate listener. And compassionate listening, when you do take the time, it really helps people to become more focused, more calm, and more positive. And I could see that through your work, and I went on the website, and I understand a lot more in my now that I'm 60. I wish you could bottle and sell that to people in their 20s, Mr. Cam Sholey.
Yeah, I would love to do that, actually. The younger, the better. I mean, it's never too late to start listening better and being more compassionate. But what I want to share, something I said at the beginning, was how I grew up into an angry adult. I can help people now in their 20s avoid the mistakes that I made. So I want to help people learn and avoid the mistakes that I made through my 20s and 30s and 40s. And I think compassionate listening is a really good avenue to try to go about doing that.
Yeah. And did you find that becoming a compassionate listener was something that you yourself having faith, that you were able to cultivate that from what you learned from faith, from not just the Christian faith or the Jewish faith or the Hindu faith or Buddhist or Baha'i or whatever, but it seems as though one of the key issues that came from compassionate listening is that the people, through faith and through centuries of faith, they have said, you know what, we can take this wisdom and we could transform it and help so many people to connect to today's world.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up religion, because compassionate listening has a lot of different religious doctrines built into it, but they're all grounded in kindness. So that's the one beautiful thing about all religions, is although they vary and, you know, there are a lot of them are in conflict, all of them have principles around kindness. And that's what compassionate listening is trying to bring forward to the table, is, you know, we as human beings, we're hardwired for negativity, but we don't need to be anymore. We used to have to be for self-protection. But now we can call on the kindness, and we can actually have an elevated form of communication together by speaking to each other with the heart and speaking from the heart to one another.
It's so fun and calming just to listen to your voice. It sounds just wonderful. You've got some workshops and a website. We want to make sure we get all of that on the radio here while we're here today. but you make me want to come and just sit still and listen.
Oh, thank you. And actually, there's a lot more going on in a listening workshop than listening. They're very immersive. And so part of being a good listener is listening to someone's story, say it's 3 to 4 minutes, and then I get people to reflect back what they heard. What were the facts that you heard? But most importantly, what are the feelings that you think you were witnessing? And what values do you think are behind them? And so we do some feelings and values work as well, because, but yeah, like I said, the listening is critical, you know, especially the attentive silence while someone's sharing their story. But ultimately, even as a good listener, we get involved as a participant in the conversation. What are the right things to say to a person after they've just shared with you a really heartfelt story?
And one of the things that you also, you'd send us to us as well, as how important feedback is. And then yes. You said you had a story to share, so our listeners would love to hear it.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, so feedback, it can be life-altering sometimes. And when I think of feedback, there are four things we need to think about. Is what we're about to say kind? Is it true? Is it necessary that I say it? And is it helpful, the way I'm going to say it? And so feedback can be so based in kindness, or it can be based in cruelty, and it can really affect people. I'll give you a quick story. Is when I was in my 20s, I knew I wanted to be a public speaker. I knew I wanted to be a teacher, a facilitator. I wanted to do TED Talks, that kind of stuff. And so I got some really devastating news in my 20s that I was monotone when I spoke. And that really hurt, because I thought, you know, how do you get out of monotone? How do you fix that? I had no idea. This is before Google and artificial intelligence and things. And so what I did was, a song came on the radio one day and the singer could hit really high notes and then go down to really low notes. And I thought, you know what? I know how I'm going to get rid of my monotone and build some inflection in my voice. I'm going to practice singing with this singer. Try to get to the high notes, get to the low notes. I could never get to the high notes, but, you know, he's the professional singer. But what I did over the course of a few months is I actually self-corrected my monotone situation and built, you know, a really healthy amount of inflection into my voice. And so I use that as a story to show people that sometimes feedback is based in kindness, even if it isn't what you want to hear. Okay, I did not want to hear I'm monotone. I wanted to hear I had a beautiful voice.
Right, well, and you know, the truth is nobody wants constructive criticism that hurts their heart, you know. And for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Mr. Cam Sholey. He's calling us from Toronto, Canada. He is recently retired from a career in teaching at the university, and he's now a compassionate listening facilitator. Well, you know, Cam, when I listen to you, which I am listening, the key word today, you're absolutely correct. I've watched so many documentaries where people are living on the streets in various countries all over the world. And the key thing that they say is, no one will listen to me.
Right.
And it is such a gift, because when you listen to people, it's like an investment that it may pay back later on if you give that person the time. And they would say, well, I had no mom. I didn't have a dad. I didn't have an older relative. I had no money. And no one was there for me. And so I think it's very important for our listeners to understand that in today's day and age, sometime, you know, there might be somebody on the train that you're sitting next to and they just start talking to you and they just want you to listen. You don't have to say anything, negative or positive, but you're giving them that time. And I think it does make a difference when you listen to people like that.
That was beautiful. Listening is a gift is the key message there, right? And we can do it with anyone. And there's no charge. So we need to give these gifts out more often to each other, you know?
Yeah. Well, give us the website where people can buy your book. And where that This Happy Home, I read it, I loved it. It was a quick read. and tell us where we could get your workshops. And I know that there's a lot of people who are retired and have some time, some wisdom to give back to the young people, and they would like to become a compassionate listener as well. So give us your website where we can contact you all.
Sure. It's camscholey.com. So CAMSCHOLEY.com. And that'll have information. Plus, people can email me directly at outlook.com. And that's on the website.
Yeah. I love that you told us that story, because I remember when I was about 13 years old, I only had one or two outfits that I could actually wear that I liked. You know, one was a little skirt with a little top that tied on the waist, and the other one was a brown dress. And I didn't realize that a lot of the girls in our village were so mean-spirited that every time I would walk up the street, you know, to go see my sister and drop off some food or whatever my mother was sending, they would say the word wardrobe. And that meant it's the same girl with the same clothes on. Like, I didn't have a wardrobe. And, you know, that bothered me for so long, Mr. Sholey, that now I have closets filled of clothing. But those little things that people do sometimes, had they asked me and bothered to listen, they would have understood that my parents had 18 children. And it's thank God I had the clothes. You know what I mean? But sometimes negativity like that makes you stronger, I think.
Yeah, it can, absolutely, right? Is we need to build up a resilience, because people have cruel streaks. Even kind people can do cruel things or unkind things sometimes, right?
Yes.
And we all need to build up a tolerance so that we can accept the little things. The big T traumas are a different matter, but little T traumas, you know, the more we can have strategies to manage those, the better. And it sounds like you've got some good strategies.
Thank you. So for our listeners who are tuning in, there's some things about compassionate listening before we go off air. It's a personal practice to cultivate your inner strength, self-awareness, self-regulation, and wisdom. It's a skill set, it's a process, and it's a healing gift. And we will let Mr. Sholey have the last 30 seconds. Speak as if you're speaking to the people who are fighting on God's magnificent planet with weapons of war or with their tongues or whatever they're using to divide this wonderful planet. Speak to those people for 30 seconds, if you can, and show us how we can make peace.
Okay. So envision that you're looking out at some people that you disagree with vehemently. You may have very strong negative feelings about them. But notice one thing about them. They all have hearts beating in their chest, just like you do. And those hearts that they have been wounded. Okay, so although what's going on in their brain, as far as you're concerned, is incorrect, based on misinformation, remember that they all have hearts, and there's always a way to try to bridge at least some of the major differences between groups. But we do need to lean into it. We need to practice the attentive silence, letting the other side have a say, and then trying to work together and try to create something positive out of that.
Wow. Ellen, what a great segment.
Really, really powerful segment. Thanks again, Cam Sholey, for calling in. And we will make sure that all of this great information is shared on all of our social media and our website. We are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back with Olivia Benson right after these messages.
Nine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473, Visit them on the web at Cloud9. That's Cloud9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9, mattress and furniture.
Located in Titusville,
Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. What an awesome first segment about being a compassionate listener. Gosh, and did it make me think about my father? He was a listener. Our second segment, which our guest is already on the phone, is with our friend. She's an attorney. She's an author. She's a public speaker. She's just a wonderful, wonderful human being that's sharing this earth with me, and I'm so great to be in on the same planet at the same time that she's existing. It's Olivia S. Benson, and she's here to speak about her books and talk to us a little bit about whatever she's doing here in life. I mean, it's just a spiritual, you're just such a spiritual person, Miss Olivia, that I just don't know what else to say about you. So take it away. Talk to us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the wonderful words, wonderful compliments. I'm delighted to be here. And as you know, I have currently two books. I was here the last time talking about For the Love of My Father, A Spiritual Guide for Women Healing from the Absence of a Father. And today we are focusing on what was really my original book, but this is the second edition. And this one is called Answers from Within, A Spiritual Guide to Finding Answers to Work-Life Issues. And, you know, I am always excited about this book, and particularly now because we're in such a time in human existence that now more than ever, people are seeking answers to everything. And the thing about it is that what we do here in life is at the very core, and when I say here in life, I mean in terms of our work, is at the very core of who we are and at the very core of our existence. So finding out why you're here on the planet, what you're here to do for humanity, because, I mean, most of us think we're just here to get for ourselves. But part of the game of life is you're here to be able to take care of yourself and to serve. That's the bottom line of the game.
And you know, right. It's good that you know you're taking the time. Number one, you're an attorney, and I just want our listeners to know that your areas of practice is probate litigation, wills and trust, and you do practice successfully in Miami. And the thing is, what I like about you is, in addition to that, you have been a student of the New Thought and metaphysics for over 30 years. And you look at religion through the lens of, you know, in a spiritual way, and not just Christianity, which you grew up in, but you question all the religions. And I love that you take the positive parts of all religions and you incorporated it into your book and into your daily life.
Correct. And you know, I was doing a presentation not too long ago, and when they introduced me, they said, I grew up in a Catholic school, going to the Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall, and then I went to a conservative Christian school, and at the same time was still involved in the Jehovah's Witness religion. So I call myself churchified. I think I say it in all my books, where, I mean, this is one little girl who was going to church. There's no question about it. And while it is mind-boggling to even think, it's perhaps the thing that made me who I am. to really question, because I'm looking at these people over here thinking that they're absolutely right, and then these people over here thinking they're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And you go on and on and on, and then it makes you just really want to find the ultimate truth. And I say this freely, New Thought, religion or Christianity, however you want to call it, but New Thought, which just means that we took the same things and take them to a level where we're not thinking about them just based on physical, what we can see with our eyes. What we do is we look at it at the spiritual level. In other words, we're going behind everything. And I have to say that that teaching and that understanding of life and that understanding of the Bible, because I was brought up as a Christian, so the Bible was, you know, was my jam, so to speak. But to be able to look at it at a deeper level and get other meanings and know that things can evolve, even things that are written there can evolve over time, it was life-changing. I feel that New Thought teaching changed my life.
Right. Well, talk about healing.
The fact that I was here.
Yeah. Talking about
something beyond suffering. I'm here as a tool, and I respect the work that you're doing so much, all of you, and you. I'm talking about Sita because I haven't spoken to everybody, you know, personally. But I mean, you're like, hey, listen, I'm here. I have something to contribute. I have something to do. I have something to say. I can make a difference. That's what we need in the world, for people to understand that every human being can make a difference. Everybody is not, you know, at the highest levels of anything. Most people are just living and working, but you can make a difference.
Well, you, I just want to jump in here and say,
by using your gifts and talents and by being a compassionate human being, you can change the world.
Well, you know, Olivia, you know, I sometimes I feel like you are the ultimate person who have overcome, talk about healing and overcoming challenges, because you sat down one day and you said to yourself, I am puzzled by my father, you know, like, why was he absent in my life? And then you went on to start this profound search to figure out why he left. And it was kind of a puzzle for you. And then you had a grandmother who ran away from Jamaica and she went to another Caribbean country at the age of 18 or 19. And so you have the spirit of so many people in you, and and I think that's why you can talk about the four things you talk about a lot, which is God, energy, force, and spirit. I think your grandmother, man, she was a firecracker. She just said, I'm done. I'm not marrying this person. And she took off.
She absolutely did. And I respect that so much, because, you know, you're talking about the turn of the 20th century, 19, you know, whatever. She's a 19-year-old. She lives in the country in Jamaica. And she absolutely said no and got on a boat, I'm calling a boat, must have been a ship, but you can only imagine it wasn't it wasn't a luxury ship, and said no. I mean, you know what that had to be for her to do such a thing. So yeah, I think I have the spirit of the ancestors, who are people who were survivors. And in my work, I stand in their name to say, this is what is possible. They might have made a lot of mistakes. Even my dad, who, you know, God bless his soul, made a lot of mistakes. But even from that, from his mistakes, I think that I can stand, and that from the other dimension, he can look and say, well, that's my daughter, and I'm very proud of her. In fact, I did a presentation a couple of weeks ago, and after I was done, the person came, and I was talking about father. It was a Father's Day presentation that I did, and the person came up to me, and she whispered in my ears, and she said, your dad is very proud of you, and because he's passed on already. And so I stand in the shoes, in the legacy of all those people, because sometimes people make a lot of mistakes, a lot of mistakes. Like, I don't think my dad would argue, and I'm never embarrassed to say, you know, I think he made a lot of mistakes. But if you can look at it, let's say from the other dimension, and look at it and you say, man, that's my daughter and I'm proud of her because despite everything that happened, she has pushed through and now she's willing to help other people, which I saw recently a post. It was by Gloria Steinem?
Steinem.
And she said the next step of healing is to share what you learned with other people. And I think that's where I stand. I cannot imagine living the life that I've lived and not being able to say to someone, this is how I was able to overcome. I mean, everybody can choose their path and what works for them, but I know that the things that I've experienced are extraordinary in a number, not necessarily in a good way, in good ways also.
Absolutely, but you know, Olivia, one of the things I like about you is that you offer hope. You allow a woman to see that despite their difficulty growing up without a father, that they can still be whole again. And your book, For the Love of My Father, addresses men as well. And you're telling men to be supportive of the child that they bring into this planet. And you're teaching them through your experience how to help their children. And I think you're making an impact on the lives, not just on single moms, but on fathers too. And I like that you're discussing this journey, a journey that crosses so many countries, Jamaica, Panama, the United States. And you're using that to also say to fathers that your children need you and they need your guidance. So for God in heaven's sake, especially Caribbean men, be there.
Listen, I say this, you can mess up. There's a reason that tradition, in many, and I listen, a lot of history, a lot of hardship, a lot of bad behavior, a lot of bad patterns, okay? But let's wake up, right? Let's wake up now and let's try to do the right thing by your children. Sometimes people do what their parents did to them, right? But I always say you can be the hero. So if your dad wasn't there for you and you now have children, you can be the hero. You can make a difference. And I say also, I would have wished that my dad would have woken up and tried to make it better. In other words, it didn't matter that he was absent and so on. But at any point, he could have said, let me try now, right? You just wake up and you say, you know what, I'm going to do better. But he didn't. But for people who are listening now, for the men who are listening now, for the mothers of sons that know that their sons are not doing the right thing, they can start right now. They can make a difference. They can change so that none of their kids, girls or boys, would ever think, my dad didn't even try to come after me, try to be in my life.
And, you know, I have to jump in here. You know, I see that a lot. And I'm not knocking, you know, men in the Caribbean or anything. But I notice with people that I know, once there's a separation or there's a divorce, a lot of these men walk away. And I don't know if it's because they feel Caribbean women are strong women, but they walk away and they don't come back. And then, you know, they put these families into such economic hardships.
Right.
And you know, and it's a hardship and a burden placed on a child because the children have to become like sometimes the head of household. And that happens here in the United States as well. But I can't stress enough, you know, being that I was born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago, and I'm seeing the chaos and the decay of the family. I have to say that, you know, those of us who have a talent and a gift and the ability to give back to our world, mine is to take my life experience and say, hey, slow down, take a minute, think about what you're doing. And I'm sure that happened with you too, because you're watching the economic disparities we have. We're watching the hate and division in our world, the lack of kindness, the lack of compassion. And we're all like, wait a minute, all these things play a part in a child's life, and if parents are going to be there for the child.
Absolutely. And the thing about it in this world is that, you know, that, like I said, there are a lot of reasons why people develop these bad patterns. Like, for example, sometimes people want to refer to some men of African descent as particularly bad, but they don't go back and look at where they're coming from, right? So you know how slavery was, you break the family bond, you don't allow the male to do these kinds of things. And you know, we're talking 200 years since slavery, which in human time is really nothing. Because if you look at the history of slavery in Egypt, till today, people of Jewish descent celebrate, you know, the release from Egypt. But so there's a pattern of things, and there's a reason why things develop. If you look at men in the African tribes and how they behave, it's much different to what we see today. But the point for us that are people of African descent living in the Americas is that now we have the ability to heal. Now there are tools that you can use. Now you can realize, listen, if I have a bad pattern of behavior for whatever reason, I have a bad pattern of behavior, I would like to stop it. I would like to work on myself. And I would like to make sure that it does not pass on to my children. In other words, this trauma and this drama ends with me.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
Well, you know, I want you to take that message to the Caribbean, because I have a lot of friends in Jamaica, in Trinidad, in Barbados, in Guyana. And they'll say, like, the husband's or the ex is so stubborn. You know, like, it's a lot of false pride. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. They want no advice, because for some reason, some people feel as if they know it all. I think it's a case of I know it all itis. You know, like, they don't want anybody. And that's a problem, because sometimes we don't know everything. It's okay for us.
Most of the time.
Yeah. We could learn from a podcast. We could learn from a radio show. We could learn from reading a book. We can learn just from listening to other people and the elders that come before us. You know, grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles. They're trying to tell the young ones certain things. But don't you feel sometimes some people just are so stubborn that they're going to have to pay to learn? And it's so sad.
That's it. There's another thing now that you're talking about Caribbean. I think it can be the same in the United States, but a lot of times we women are also, and I think I talk about that in For the Love of My Father, but we women are also participants in this chain, because what happens with some mothers support their sons in bad behavior. I don't know if you've experienced that, but, you know, you in some Caribbean families, my son? Instead of being the one that helps to break the chain. I don't care what your father did to me, and I don't care what our story was, you're going to be better than what was coming behind. And, again, I don't think it's limited to the Caribbean, but it does happen there a lot. We need women to step up and say to their sons. I mean, for me, like, I have a son, and he could never come and tell me any craziness about what he's doing to a woman, what he might be doing to his child or children. None of it would be acceptable. And so I think we women have the ability also to influence our sons, no matter what the prior story was. You can say, this ends now.
Absolutely. I just saw something about India where people are saying, when you're looking for a good girl for your son, make sure you tell that good girl the bad habits of your son as well.
Yes.
And I loved it. And I thought about you, because I figured that would be good for the show. But one of the things, and I know we only have like a couple of minutes left, but one of the things that you speak about frequently is finding that good balance, creating a balance in our lives between our career and our home life. And, you know, a lot of us came to the United States because of the opportunities, because of the education, because of what we can do for the folks we left back home. And in mm-hmm. doing so and working those extra shifts and taking that second job, mm-hmm. in some ways, we made it bad for the children that we created here in the United States, because we didn't have that balance because we were always gone. But you put a mm-hmm. stop to that and you said, hey, my son comes first. With the remaining okay. minute and a half, tell our listeners here mm-hmm. a little bit about creating a work-life balance.
Well, I think the most important thing to start with is understanding that we are all divine. We are all created by the same God, energy, force, spirit. And that, what I call Jeff, God, energy, force, spirit, does not bring us to the planet, send us to the planet without resources for our survival. Now, it's very easy to get lost. In America particularly, it's easy to get lost by the glitter. In other words, you come and now you want this and you want that, and you're not thinking about what your life purpose is and how you're here to serve humanity. You're here to make some money.
You get greedy, girl. Let's be honest. A lot of people get greedy until they get old, and then they become spiritual.
Yes. Yes. And then you just, it's like going to New York City, right? It just captivates you, and now you're in this mode. But the whole thing is that, first of all, the game is a long game. So for me, it was important to say, you know what, while I have a kid, I don't think that going after every penny that I can pick up is the most important thing. I want to know who I am. And those are the questions of the book, Answers from Within. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And who's going with me? Now, if you come from that perspective and you have the full picture of what life is about, then you can seek balance. And particularly once you find out what your gifts and talents are, because that is so enriching. Because if you know that you're on point, that you know that you're gifted this way and that way, and you fight and find the opportunity to serve, now you're coming from a different place as opposed to just being stressed, going to work 9 to 5, paying your credit card bills, this and that and the other, where everything that is shiny is getting your attention. You're coming from within.
Yeah. So I think
that makes a difference.
And one of the lovely things about you, attorney at law, Olivia S. Benson, and I have a minute
left.
Thank
you.
I just want to say that you are such a cheerleader for people, all of us, to go out and find our lives with a real purpose, not glittery. Yeah. Putting on a high heel shoes and some lipstick and a pretty yes. dress and going to get pictures with our friends, but actually right. taking the life experience we have and giving mm-hmm. it back to the world, because we are wise and we can do that, and we can do it without shame because we learn
exactly.
from it. And that's how you
Absolutely.
Are. So with the remaining 30 seconds or so, give us your website and the names of the book and where people mm-hmm. can find you.
Okay. My name is Olivia S. Benson. You got to put the S because otherwise it's Marissa Hargitay.
Right.
And the website is oliviasbenson.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I am on X, every social media platform that you can imagine. The names of the books are For the Love of My Father and Answers from Within, and they're both available on Amazon. Just Google Olivia S. Benson, and you'll see everything about me.
Well, and we will share all of that information on our, and all of your information as well, including your fantastic website, by the way, on our social media, as well as our website, which is cedamediainc.com. And Sita, what a great mm-hmm. day. Again, you meet the greatest people.
I do, and I love Olivia because I watch a podcast with her, and I see that the coronavirus also changed your life for the better, too, because a lot of us had this inner reflection while we were home. And
yes.
I think it brought all of us back to that beautiful foundation of life and liberty and truly in the pursuit of happiness. But it had
exactly.
to come from within. If you're not happy
Absolutely.
With yourself and who you are and your genetic makeup and your skin color and your race and your intellect and the gift God gave you, you cannot give it back
Amen.
To the world, right?
Amen. 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 Amen.
Girl,
that's the truth.
I feel like you need to come in studio next time. Yes?
I know. Next time
we'll... you're going to have to come here. I'll make you some curry chicken.
Yes, yes.
Amen. I want goat. I want curry goat.
I'll make the curry goat. I swear I will.
I know you can do it.
I can cook anything you want, girl. Just give me the time.
The best cook ever. Well, okay. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Make sure you tune in each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on 1510 WWBC.
All right, take care.